Okay. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Ann B. from East of the River, D.C. The topic is illness and recovery.
Good morning, family. I want to make sure. Can everyone hear me? Because I guess I don't speak too loud, but I want to make sure. Can you hear me now? Okay, good morning. I'm Ann, and I am a recovering addict. Really good to be here in the convention. Always good to be here in the convention. First, I'd like to thank my higher power for waking me up and getting me here today and through my process of recovery. Then I would like to thank the program committee and Rosetta for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope on illness and recovery. You know, I thought about this topic, and I knew for me, for the last 20 years in this fellowship, all I've done is did service work. And throughout the illnesses and whatever, but service work has always been my baby. And speaking in front of you all, it never has been. Because I like being out there on the front line, you know, planning the process, making sure everybody having a good time with entertainment, things like that. You know, so when I was asked to come share on illness and recovery, you know, I said, well, you know, I always do what I'm asked to do in this program. So I knew I had to do it, so... You know, I'm afraid that I'm just going to deliver the message the best as I can, because my story is my story. I got here, I wasn't sick, only sick with my disease of addiction. And as time went on, you know, I began to get sick. I got sick in 2004, had my first heart attack. And was really in denial about it because I work in the field of addiction. I'm a certified addiction counselor by trade, and I work real hard in doing that and helping people, other suffering addicts. So never once did I want to ever be the sick person, you know, because I guess you have a... I forget what you call it. You have your pride and everything. So I continue to try to do everything full force, regardless of how I was feeling. But, of course, I had several more heart attacks. And it got a little harder. But in my area, and I meant to say that, too, because my area east of the river, and my home group is 3:30 Stepping Tradition Meeting, the best Stepping Tradition Meeting in town. I need to say that. But in my area east of the river, in D.C., we consider ourselves the strongest area there is in D.C. because we're the ones that put on all the events, plan all the events, you know, make sure everybody have a good time. So that's kind of my motto. So illness is really something that I didn't have any acceptance in. And acceptance is something that you have to have, you know, when you're talking about illness. But of course, I continued on, and a lot of people did not know that I was sick, because when you're sick, there's a lot of handicaps. You have a physical handicap. You might have hearing impaired. You might have wheelchairs and things like that. And for me, I didn't have those things. So a lot of times people really don't know when Ann is sick, because Ann don't go around saying, hey, I'm sick. I'm so self-reliant, I guess, and with my illness. Because for me, people always take your illnesses or things going wrong with you the wrong way. So I just take care of my own, myself. With illness, I'm just going to talk about the different illnesses people might have and they just don't recognize it. Illness and comes with discomfort. Discomfort, pain, let me see, just so many things. And so for me, when I'm sick or I'm around people who are sick, I try to kind of feel for them because, like I said early on, I'm getting ready to ramble. Early on, people don't really know when you're sick, like not unless you are really had some physical handicaps. I don't walk around with a cane. I don't walk around with my mobile chair. Sometimes I may have to use my what you call that thing? That cane, that thing you roll. Yeah, the roll. And when I go in the stores, I'm so self-reliant. I don't want people to see me riding in a little chair and all this kind of stuff. So I try to avoid a lot of this stuff. I think we kind of need to move this because I'm trying to talk as loud as I can. Okay. Can you hear me more now? Great. Okay, great. Okay. So illness and recovery. Recovery can mean recovering from a lot of things. But one thing, I'm not going to try to get on text topic because hers is prescription and recovery. But when you have a lot of illnesses, of course, you have to have medication. You have to have, and for me, when you come into, I was taught when I came in here to recovery that different medications I cannot take because of my disease. I don't want to go back out. So, therefore, I have to explain to my doctors that I have a disease of addiction and I can't take certain medications, such as Percocets, things like that. But the other medications you may take sometimes kind of harm you, too, because, you know, of your illness. For me, I talked to you about my heart attacks, but also, I guess about 10, 15 years into this program, I discovered that I had problems with my kidneys. And it was my heritage. My mother was a dialysis, heart, high blood, diabetes, this, that, and the other. So it was just heredity that I would get the same thing. When I found out that my kidneys were failing and I was going to have to go on dialysis, that was the worst thing that you could have told me. Because, like I said, for me, I like moving around, working, having fun, going out of town. You know, you name it, that was me. And for me to have to sit on the machine 3 days a week, 3 and 4 hours a day, I just couldn't take it, you know. But I found myself getting sicker and sicker and sicker, so I had to use the program to teach me how to live on dialysis. And that meant I had to buckle down and do what the doctors told me to do. You know, of course, still wanted to travel and do things like that, even like right now. So I had to learn how can I go out of town and still do dialysis. So yesterday, where was I? For 3 or 4 hours, down in Berlin, doing my dialysis. So today, I can be up and be in front of you all. I do that on a daily basis because I want to show people in the program that it's not so bad. Just like the church, it's not so bad. You still can do the things that you want to do here in this program. I have COPD. I'm anemic. A big person like me, as fat as I am, well, how did I become anemic, you know? So I want to freeze everybody out because I'm cold, you know. The worst thing kind of happened to me when the illness for me really took bad. As I said, I was working. I'm a workaholic. And the last heart surgery that I needed to take in order to continue on with my life because I had had four heart attacks. They wanted to do a triple bypass and a valve replacement. So that was very extensive. They needed me to go in a nursing home for about a month. And so I had to do that, did that, came out. When I came out, I'm ready to go back to work. My job felt that I didn't need to work anymore. They felt that, you know, maybe it might be too hard on me. I didn't have that feeling because I wanted to work. I wanted to take care of myself. But they were the boss, and it was their job, so they didn't let me come back, so I had to find something else to do. But in the meantime, I had to apply for Social Security. And Social Security is something that I really wasn't anticipating because I like my own money. And I like to make money, you know what I'm saying? But I had to wait 6 months for that. So what was I going to do for 6 months? Had to give up my house and pack my stuff, put it in storage, go sleep on my daughter's couch for about 4 months. That was the worst thing of all. Thank God for family. But my daughter was 23 at the time. Her and her three kids and her soon-to-be husband. And at 23, you know, they do everything in the world that I don't do. But, you know, I was grateful that, you know, she took me in. And I prayed throughout, I mean, prayer. That's all I can say. And prayer works. That's all I can say. Just you got to keep praying. Because, again, people don't know that you're sick. And since I've been here, the program of Narcotics Anonymous has always been my family. Because, you know, your biological family, wait a minute, they really don't know about your disease. They don't know what you're going through as far as recovering. Because they think that you should have been doing this all the time. You know, and they think that you can be normal just like them. But you may be normal, but they're not normal. You know? They're not normal. You know, because anytime, you know, they do the things that they do without a drink and a drug. I thank God I found y'all people. Because, you know, I know my family anyway. They just not normal. But anyway, but I've been here a few 24 hours, and my family do know that I live a recovery life, and you know, in program. And but things that, as far as my illness, they couldn't help me with because they don't know about kidney, heart, liver, not being able to take medication while you're sick. You know, why can't you do this and why can't you do that, you know? And I can't explain all of that to them. I just know what I need to do for Ann on a daily basis, you know. And so the family that I have out there, my biological family, you know, sometimes it's just no help to me. But the family I've gained in here, you people, you know, I kind of, you know, of course, I guess had some expectations. Because when we get here, we're told that we're supposed to get a sponsor, you know, get a network of people, get a home group so people can know when you go to your home group, if something's wrong, they can pull you up, you can get some help. If you're sick, you go to the hospital, you got your family coming to see you, you know. And sometimes we get so busy in here thinking that people are okay, we forget that they're really not. And they need help. See, for me, like I said, I've always been so self-reliant. You would never know that I need help. You just wouldn't know. Not unless I verbally say, please help me. And I can't always say that. I can't say that because I got too much pride or whatever, you know. So, but I can't feel bad because you people don't come to my rescue and don't help me because I ain't tell you. You know. But for me, I be feeling, oh, they should know. They seen me. But what they see is this right here. Do it look like I'm sick? No. So how they gonna know? You know, your family, like I have two daughters and they were raised up in here one day at a time. One is 24, will be 21 next Saturday. And I'll be 21. I have 21 years of recovery, June 16th. So we've raised up in here together. And to watch my girls grow, I guess has been my biggest supporter. And the biggest thing that I've always had to live for. So therefore, I never could feel or get down or feel bad because I always had to be strong for them. That could have been a good thing, and then it could have been not so good because, again, like I said, people don't know when you're not doing good. So, but when you're sick, it really is a family disease. I thank God for the people in my network who do know that what I've gone through. I thank God for my family, my biological family, like my two girls that has seen me through this process. You know, how much time am I working with? Okay. Because without you people and my family, at some point, I don't know what I'll do. But, you know, let me say this. When you're sick, and of course, like I said, because if you're not hearing impaired, wheelchair bound or something like that, and you're feeling bad on a regular basis, please go out and talk to somebody. Please let your network, sponsee sisters know, sponsors, brothers know that this is what you're going through. Go to meetings. And then when you go to meetings, a lot of times you have to go to meetings that works for you because if you're in a wheelchair, a meeting like at my home group might not work for you because we have stairs. But I have seen people going in, they put their walkers down at the bottom and work their way upstairs. But the basic list kind of tells us which meetings are accessible for any illnesses. And I hope a lot of home groups take that into consideration when they opening up these meetings, because nowadays we have more people coming in the rooms more so than others that are ill, that are sick, that are in wheelchair, that do have hearing impairment. And if we don't open up these meetings to places where they can get to them, it's really hard because a lot of times people live in rural areas. It may be one meeting in your area. And if that one meeting in your area is not wheelchair accessible, what is the person going to do? So, and now in our areas, we're really trying to find places. It's so difficult, though, but we're really trying to find places that people can get to and they can hear the message of recovery. I don't want to rant, but a lot of times, just for me, by me being on my dialysis and having my little illnesses, a lot of days I cannot walk. I cannot talk. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I don't want people to think that I'm ignoring them or I don't want to be bothered. You know, it's just that I'm trying to take care of myself the best I can. You know, I have to go through a whole little thing about when I gotta rub my feet. You know, I gotta rub my arms, my legs, and then, you know, I gotta be self-conscious because I want to wear a long shirt because my dialysis thing, I don't want people to see it, you know, because they probably think I've been shooting up forever, and that ain't it because I was a crack addict, you know. You know, because my daughter was shopping yesterday, and she was like, Ma, I seen some nice little camisoles for you, but, you know, you don't like to wear the thing because of your arm. And I said, just get it anyway, girl, because I don't care no more. You know, because people are going to think what they want to think, and I cannot be worried about what somebody is saying about me today, because I know with you people and God in my life, one day at a time, Lord knows I've gotten to this point, and like I said, in June, I have 21 years clean. You know. So at this point, I can no longer think about what you and you think. I want to stay here a little bit longer. I think I have more to do. You know, I haven't finished working. I'm just taking a little break as God and my job needed me to do. But eventually, I'm going back to work because I love helping people. And regardless of if I can just go to the center and monitor for 8 or 3 hours, that's what I'm going to do. You know, the program of Narcotics, let me say this. I was the chairperson here last year for CPRC 26, Eastern River. And I was sick as a dog at the end, and sick as a dog. But y'all didn't know it. Y'all didn't know it, because I was walking around here acting like I was all right. And as I said, and at the end, before I left here, before I came here, I had to move out of my house, packed everything, put it in storage. But y'all ain't know that either. And so when I got back, you know, I didn't have no place to stay. I was homeless. But y'all ain't know that either. You know, because I always try to walk with my head up. And the ones that did know it, they just knew it. That's all I'm going to say. They just knew it. And I'm the kind of person, I'm not going to beat your head up and telling you that something is wrong with me. When you can look at me and you know what's wrong, you've been around me long enough to know if something is wrong with me. And the same way I reach out my hand to you, you need to be reaching out your hand to me. And if you don't, that's your loss, because I'm going to make it. God did not bring me up here in recovery to fall down. Only thing I am right now is a vehicle and a tool for another suffering addict. Because they can know that if I can come in here and had 4 heart attacks, go on dialysis, I'm building on my 5th year in dialysis, got COPD, I'm anemic, Lord knows what else, that if I can keep coming back one day at a time, and playing every just about event that y'all done had here in Ocean City for the last 20 years, regardless of what they say about A&B, I still did what I need to do for Narcotics Anonymous. Because I love Narcotics Anonymous. And I appreciate, and I'm so happy and grateful that Narcotics Anonymous was here for me when I got here. And I'm so grateful that the people were here when I got here, because the people when I got here were strong, and they told us, sit down, shut up. When we need to know something, how to use, we ask. Right now, just get a message of recovery. And that's what we did. And I sat in these same chairs, and I said, Lord, how do people get that much time? It ain't no way I could get that much time. And then they was talking about predecessors, this, that, and well, now I can say I'm one. But that was one day at a time. And that was going through everything I had to go through. And that was God working for me. That wasn't me. I ain't doing. I just stood up and listened to what y'all was saying and to what my high power was saying to get here. So I'm not going to sit up here and take a lot of time. I just want to tell everybody thank you for being here for me. And please stay with Narcotics Anonymous because this is the best thing to save your life one day at a time. One day at a time. Not a month at a time. Not skip to the beat and all that. Please have fun because I'm now, for me, I know I've danced my way through here because I love to dance, you know, and we love to party, clean and sober. So please stay here. Get to the dances. Get to the go-go. You know, if you can't walk, if you can't talk, whatever, just sit there and bob your head. You know, do what you got to do. But stay here. And don't let nobody run you out here. With that, thanks for letting me share.